know my God is huge. When he high-fives me, he goes all the way back with my five. Come on, somebody. You see, because I've learned to know who I serve. I've learned to know who is my Father, which art in heaven. And I've learned to know hallowed is his name. And I've learned to know that he is the Almighty. There is none greater than him. I've learned today that I am his child. I've learned to understand I'm a child of God. And in learning that, he lets us know that who his Father, who our Father is, to who we are as children. Say children. That goes to you women too. Come on, say amen. You know, I know the woman gets a lot of, bad words out there, you know. For you that love Islam, you better know what they think about women. I'm cursing Islam. I'm not afraid to curse them. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Good people, you better know out there who Islam is. They don't, you're nobody to them. They put a good on show. They've learned to put a lie on. Because the lying spirit runs over them with the religious spirits. And, you know, you got to understand this warfare that we're in. In that warfare, being who we are, understanding authority, God has given his church authority. Come on. Again, it's not the building. It's the people that's in the building that has the rights and authority to use what God has designed we walk with. Say walk with. And so using the Gospel of Mark, let's go to chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, it looks like, this morning. Yeah. And let's start with verse number. We're going to do a little bit of reading. I hope this is not the most you ever read, is what we read today. I hope that's not the case. But if it is, I'm going to pray that God change that in your life. Because, yeah, it's one thing if you live in the third world countries where communism is ruling and reigning. It's one thing that you live in a world where Islam is running and ruling and reigning because you cannot serve another God out there. You cannot serve Christianity out there like we have the freedom. They're living with just little chapters of verses that they have in their hand. You don't know the truth until you're out there. And they're out there and they're risking their lives with that little belief of these little words that they have. And they're living their life just with those little words that are they're able to receive. So, excuse me, we need to understand the ability of our freedom because we have no excuse to walk in the manner of the Almighty God's calling in America. America, the land of what? But are we free? I'm going to tell you, we're more bound and free than we think. But God wants to unloose us. Come on, say amen, somebody. You better know who you are. You better understand where you're at. You better understand why God has you in this. You're here in this time of 2026 because God has established that you be in this world, walking in your authority as a child of the living God. Because everybody, again, that's watching you needs the hope. All these that are honking, we thank God for every honk that we heard yesterday. Come on. We thank God for everybody that's praying for that as they pass by. Amen. And for those that did receive the prayer to the counseling or whatever they thought they had to give us, you know, like, hey, man, yeah, keep sharing the love. Let's share the love. Say amen. But we're actually going to talk about love this morning because what love really is not what you think does exist. Love doesn't accept everything. Love stands up for everything. But everything is not from God. Come on. Everything is not from God. Hello. And you're going to understand it using the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is on his way. He's walking out of, coming out of the 40 days of the wilderness challenge. Come on. 40 days without food. Whoa. Some of you get grumpy just without one dinner. No dinner. What's wrong with you? You know, we're going to die now. Oh, my God. You know, some of you are pretty grumpy for missing a meal. You need to get right with God. You need to follow Jesus. Come on, say amen. These people that we're going to study here in the days ahead, they followed Jesus, and they didn't eat for 2 to 3 days sometimes. 2 to 3 days, praise be to God, right? And that means if you were 3 days and 3 meals a day, that's 9 meals you missed. Hello? But they only ate once a day usually. You don't understand. Everybody, this Jesus is not Americanized. This gospel that we read is not Americanized. In fact, this gospel in the true writings is still off according to the true writings that were written. And they have made it to please a king. And from there, they have used it to translate all these translations, even to today. You know, again, you're probably going to see up on the screen, it's a New King James Version. New King James Version. What's wrong with the old one? Well, because we don't understand the these and the thous and the how be it. Well, I've learned a how be it. We just call it, I'm fine. Come on, how you doing? We're doing great. What up? How be it is what up? What up? What do you mean what up? The sky or whatever. But you know, we adapt, right? We adapt. Well, it's time to start adapting to the things of God. It's time to start understanding the things of God. Understanding the will of God. Because I was trained up in the early days of Christianity that there's three wills. The permissive, the will, and my will. I said, that's not true. I've learned there's only two wills. His will be done or your will be done. There's no third one in there. And there are many that believe that because they're instructed of that. And that's false. Say false. And that's why Timothy had to hear it from the Apostle Paul. Study to show yourself. Because what's out there, where I come from, where he was the greatest one of the Hebrews of Hebrews, right? The Pharisees of Pharisees. It's incorrect. That's why he tells us, study to show yourself. I tell you, go search this word when we're done and go see if God tells you the same or not. I'm not afraid. We're just saying, I'm not afraid. Show me your glory. How many want to see the glory of God? You better know what you're asking for when you want to see the glory of God. Read the book of Moses because he asked for that. I want to see your glory. And God said, you can't. Because if you see me, you're going to die. We need to see God that we can die from this way of ours. Say amen. They're called the flesh. You have it. It's called flesh. Amen. The thinking and all that. But here, he's on his way. He's going to step into the church. Who's he? Our Savior. And let's do a little bit of reading. Chapter 1, the book of Mark, verse number 21. And it says, and they went in into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue, church, temple, chapel, not campus, and taught. What did he do? He taught. Follow it. Verse number 22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them, say them, that's us, as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue, church, chapel, come on, a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And then 25. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. 26 says, and then when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And continuing 27, and they were all amazed, insomuch they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey. And then we're going to finish this with verse 20. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions about Galilee. Yes, Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Thank you for reading from the bread of life, Father. Thank you for bringing understanding to every ear that shall hear this message this morning, God, that you brought to our tables, from those tables, to those tables, Father, that we can hear And we pray, understand, and from this day walk with, that you are asking in alignment with you, your will, your calling, your purpose, and all those that you have called, chosen, and brought into your kingdom. And a day like today, Father, in the year of 2026, of the second month of the year, that we can fulfill that your will as you ask for. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Now looking at this story, dissecting it step by step. I mean, there's a lot to dissect here. I might get stuck here, and I don't want to go to a series because we can do series here. And I don't want to do a series because we need you today. We need those prayer people out there. Come on. We need, and I know when we walked up, the presence of God was out there. It was upon the brother praying for the sister. We didn't walk in and say we're the pastors. We never do that because it's never going to be about us. It's always about his purpose. Come on, somebody. You need to say amen to that. But I felt the presence of God. I can sense the presence of God. And I know that in the presence of God, there's authority. God will always work it out. Say amen. What we can't work out. But we have to always learn to be in our place and position with him. And how many know what authority is? And I'm going to say all of you do, and all of you should know, even though we don't come from the same backgrounds, we don't understand all things of the backgrounds or culture or race, and that none of that matters, but we should understand some kind of authority. It really starts in the home. Come on. It really starts at home. In fact, we're going to come against your home here soon, and you may not visit me again next week. I ask you not to come tomorrow because we won't be here for prayer. Come on, we give you a time to go pray for your presidents. Our president needs prayer right now. I'm going to tell you, we need prayer right now. It's not a time for the church to fall asleep. You stay awake and let's do what we're called to do. And pray for this one in authority over us. And how many know he has authority? You have his authority without realizing. But we understand authority and where it comes from. All of you have worked for someone, come on, cults, and they were either the owners, supervisor, foreman, whatever you want to call them. And whatever they ask you to do, it's amazing you would do it, right? Well, today, that one is asking you to walk in that kind of authority because you understand it. Say amen. How many know what I'm saying? We're out there, we must realize who we are. And this is why when we titled it, When Authority Walks In, every devil and demon in hell should know you're there when you walk in. Because who's walking with you is what they're sensing. And how many know that? We're going to cover it here. We're going to cover something that they know. They knew something we didn't know. And sometimes we fit into that 2,026 years ago, whenever it was. They understood something that we should understand, but they didn't then, and it's amazing we don't today. We don't know the presence of God. We don't understand his authority. He's walking into the city called Capernaum. Do you see that there? Come on, Capernaum is a place that was very well respected in that time where Jesus was walking in. And it's no coincidence that he walks in. Nothing in the writings of God is coincidence. It is actual purpose by God. And sometimes you don't realize you've been purposed to walk where you walk, be at you where you're to be, and to see what you see, because God put you, the authoritative person, at that moment right there. Oh, you're not hearing this. Sometimes you're in the supermarket not realizing you're there for a purpose of time. Not to get your ice cream. Come on, not to get your groceries. But you're going to do those, but you know, you're walking in a place and a position that may just be being robbed, but your presence there is going to stop that from happening. But you don't know that. Amen. Oftentimes, God may reveal it to you. Come on. Hello? If you were a thief, you should recognize the thief. Come on. Start watching them. Look at their. They're a thief. They're going to be a thief. No, they're not. Yes, they are. You don't want to hear that when you take something from the produce department and start eating it just to taste it? You're a thief. Who told you to get that grape? You didn't pay for it. That's thievery. Hello, somebody. You see, you don't play with God. He's watching you. He didn't authorize you to pluck off those couple of grapes just because you feel like from the candy bin that's selling by the box, just to taste it because you feel like you need to taste it before you buy it. Come on, church. Say amen. It's called thievery. So who's the thief? The one you're looking at that you think is going to be the thief, because the thief is within you. Because if we rob God, we'll rob anybody. I'm not here to talk about a tithes and offering. If you rob God from him, he's going to rob you. You know what that means? He's not going to protect you, and your money is going to go out the door and it just bleeds through your pockets. Come on. But Capernaum was well known for its ways, for how it was producing and how life was. There was a lot of respect. Say a lot of respect. They respected the church there. See, there wasn't churches back then like we have churches. Oh, Lord, we have you been up and down Avenue? How many churches do you find? As soon as I come off of Bryan, coming the back way, come on, there's a church right there. Come on, we go up. Hey, there's another one. Say amen. And we don't even know there's somebody starting a church in a home here, you know, up as we go up and down these streets. And there's still several more down the street here. Come on. I said, wow, God, this street's got, it's covered. Right? No, it's not. You see speeders going up and down all day long. Hello, I'm praying. Slow them down, God, because what if one of our cars go out? And just not occupied correctly. We've seen that at our church before. We had a gathering. They're walking. They're leaving. And they get, and all you hear is bang. And they weren't even from our church. They were visiting people from our church on an outing. And I said, oh, my God. And it was a horrible looking accident right out in front of our church. But thank God, God was there. Say amen. How could you not see this car coming? Well, we've all done it. Come on. We've all had to slam the brakes. Hello, because we get occupied. Say occupied. Capernaum was a well-known position place. It was one that when they met, they did what they were supposed to do, but there was something wrong that nobody can see until God sends something in. Hello. Many of you got to come to the place. So let's go back to the beginning of this verse 21, right? And it says, okay, they went into Capernaum, which Capernaum I just described to you, right? I just taught who they were. They were a place that people would gather. And there they are. And Jesus walks in, and for some reason, he starts teaching. He didn't ask for permission. Come on, somebody. We serve a God that's very respectful. Hello? But what he doesn't respect, if that's his house and you're not teaching his ways, he's not going to respect you. Come on, somebody. See, we're looking at a building. We're looking at a time. But bring it to today, he's looking at us because we're the church. Come on. And if you think God needs to respect you and you're not respecting him, watch what's going to happen here. Come on, somebody. Because this is happening all over our country today. Say our country. Not just here in Yucaipa. Our country around is not understanding the scriptures here. And he started teaching without permission. Now, if I was the pastor, which they didn't call him back then, but if I was the head honcho there, I would be upset. Come on. But guess what? He couldn't say a word. See, you got to read everything that's happening. Here comes Jesus walking into the church. He's got his 12. No, he hasn't chosen his 12. It's just him walking in with those that kind of know who he is. You know, he's got his mom's there. They're not saying mom's there. Come on. What they're saying is he walked in. They followed whoever was following him for some reason. And now, all of a sudden, he's teaching. He's talking. What is he teaching? Does it say? But they say, hey, what? He entered on 22. He says, and they were astonished at his doctrine. Well, wait a minute. His doctrine? What was he teaching? What was it? What are they astonished of what he's teaching when they were supposed to be teaching the same thing all this time? He's teaching of the laws of Moses. How many know what I'm talking about? He's teaching from what we know is called the Torah. He's teaching from the 5 books of Moses. Hello, somebody. Exodus. You know, I don't know. He could be, right? Leviticus? Possibly. It doesn't say. But what it does say, they were astonished. Why were they astonished? What changed their ways of seeing that? Who is this? Because what he's telling us and the way he's telling us is different. It's not like we are accustomed to. You know, we can get accustomed to certain ways. How many agree? You know, I'm accustomed to, man, you're dead and you don't know it. So I don't want to hear you. Hello? Turn it off. You ever gone to the channels and looking at the Christian channel? You start listening. I go, oh, you got to be kidding. Turn it. Come on, say amen. I don't care if you look with Jewish or not. I don't care if you got the biggest cross hanging over your neck. I don't care. I don't care if you got a collar that's white on the little bit of the part of the collar. I don't care. None of that I care about. What I care is, what are you telling the people? Because Jesus is concerned with that. And he says he walks in, right? And he begins to teach. And the people now are astonished because they're saying, what is this? Who is this? He's telling us things with authority. We don't know what doctrine he's teaching, but it's got to be out of the five books. He could have been teaching of one of the prophecies of Isaiah or Ezekiel. Come on. He could be bringing up things that we don't even know of the prophet Amos or Malachi. We don't know. But we know it was one of the books. But the way he's presenting it, you know, it's not about how we speak with eloquence. We can speak with eloquence. I don't ask God for that. I ask God to let me speak with an anointing. Because the Bible says the Spirit is upon them, Jesus, at this time, and he has anointed him. Because we're going to reach, and what we mean, the Spirit of God is going to reach everybody where it needs to be reached. Because all of you are different, but the same. Meaning, we're all from the same body, but we all deal differently and struggles with different struggles. But and all in all, they're already answered. Your struggles, whatever it is. And they were astonished because not only did he teach something differently, but he taught as he had authority. When's the last time you walked in your authority? Hello? I'm trying to stay away from the many ways of authority, so I'm going to use your bosses. How come you listen to the boss if he asks you to do something? Why? And you disagree. Why do you do what you don't want to do? Because you're recognizing he's authoritative right there, right? He's the foreman. Come on. Even though you know more than him. I'm using him, ladies. No offense. Come on. Have you ever worked for a female boss? I have had to. Don't ever, ever ask God to give you a female boss. I've worked for several female bosses. Oh my God. Help me here, Jesus. He had to help me. You know, because when they were in that time of the month, we all felt it. Come on. Oh, Jesus, help me here. But again, he's talking with authority there. People notice. How many know people notice how you talk? People notice what you say and how you say it. Come on, somebody. How many have heard that the power of death and life are in your voice, in your position, how you speak things? I don't know how we, the givers of life, are always so negative in our speaking, so doubting. You know, you want to put doubting Thomas in a position that we're in the same position. If I would have saw my Savior die on the cross after hearing and seeing all that he did, I would be questioning the same thing that he got established as doubting Thomas. He wasn't the only doubter. They were all doubting. They just didn't confess it like he did. He stood up and, unless I put my hand, and that's us. I'm not seeing is believing. Come on, you're all guilty. I ain't going to do that. No way. That's not going to happen. No way. Come on. Somebody help me here. You guys need to help me here. Pray for me. Because this message goes so deep that I don't know if we're ready to hear this. And it should be you are, because you should understand about authority. And I know you know authority. Come on. Today, we don't have much of that in the home because the children are telling the parents what to do, how to do it, and why to do it. But that's the parents' fault for not taking their position. Because we're afraid to lose what we think we're going to lose. And it's not true. You can't lose nothing that don't belong to you. Just because you birthed it doesn't mean it belongs to you. Remember, death and life are from our Savior. Remember, He gives life. He allows death. He resurrects death. Come on. But we're so fearful today. Hello. But, you know, as we're watching this and we're seeing this, and He spoke out and He's speaking, right? On 23, and there was in their synagogue, look at this. In the church, there's a man with an unclean spirit. There's an immoral person. That's what the unclean means. He's sitting in the church, really comfortable. His thinking's wrong. His thinking's bad. Come on, somebody. Look up unclean spirit. We have dealt with them many a times. This is why the church must recognize what we are allowing in the church today, which we will never allow in this place. If you're unclean, you're not coming to the pulpit. I'm going to tell you right now. You're allowed to come into the church, but somewhere the Spirit of God is going to get a hold of you. It's here to set you free, and you will be set free from this, what God called you to be free from. Your thinking, no, that's not just your thinking, your ways, your actions, what needs to be said about this immorality, it's foul. You know, in the church, in the church they hold their tongue, but outside of the church, they're the foulest mouth person I've ever heard. Have you ever dealt with that? Oh, I'm from the church, blah, 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 blah. I said, oh my God, what church are you from? Well, the church of Satan. Because it's all about you. Come on, are you here this morning? And there was where is this person? We don't know how long he's been, but the church has been established for years, and there he is sitting in the church, real comfortable. Come on, doing what he's done, doing the way he's doing it, and living the way he's always believed in living, not realizing that the person that what's in them. The man of God or woman of God, whoever you want to be, couldn't see it. Or maybe you could see it, but you don't want to mess with it. Hello, somebody. I'm looking out there and I said, oh, Jesus. Jesus. He's in the church. 2,026 years ago, he's in the church. And then you start doing your studies and you start asking God and you start looking. I said, oh, my God. This guy. These people, he sat through every Sunday, every Wednesday, every woman's prayer, men's prayer, gathering, whatever it was, whoever it was. Right here, it's a man, but we don't know what they had back then. Holy. He's sitting in the church, undisturbed, comfortable. The devil's in God's house. Not misunderstanding while we invite. Yes, you're invited to come in. We accept everything. We don't believe in everything. Come on, you come in and come as you are, but you cannot leave the way you come in. We're believing for change. Say amen, somebody. But we're not going to force change. We're going to see change come, and it's going to be by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And this guy was immoral. Come on. He was foul-mouthed. He had a bad thinking and a lifestyle that's just unbelievable. And then I look at 2026 church. We got that in the church world today. We got homosexuals leading the church and saying that's the love of God. Hello. We got these that you can, whatever you want to call it in the church, leading the church. Fighting people like us that say, no, God made man, God made woman. Some of you are afraid to say that. God made man because it's in your household. It's in your family. We understand that. We've dealt with that. I buried some of my family because of their homosexuality. They died of it, even though we prayed for them. Even though we ministered to them, they died in it, and I did the burial. Come on. Not ashamed of who I am, but that wasn't me. But they were able to call on who we are. Oh, come on, Jesus. I need you right here. They should be able to call on you. Come on, that's true love. Say amen, somebody. And that unclean spirit cried out. And verse 24 saying, let us alone. What do we have to do with you? Jesus of Nazareth, come on. What? You come to destroy us? And I'm paraphrasing some of the word now. I know you. I know you. Come on. I know you. Have you ever heard anybody tell you? I know. I tell you that. I know you. No, you don't know me. I do. I've seen you. Hello. The Lord has revealed that. It's called discernment. Hello. I know you. My wife tells me I don't know her. You don't know me. I tell her, you don't know me. But the truth is, we know each other so well. Come on, say amen. 40, almost 50 years of being together, we know something about each other. I know she loves Mexican food, bottom line. I can't go wrong with Mexican food. Look, she's saying, no, it's the truth. Come on. You know that's the truth. You love Mexican food. And I love it too. I love it so much, I don't even want to go out to eat it. Because it's not hers. You missed that. It's not hers. She's got a better salsa than those restaurants. Her beans are better. Her tacos are better. Her enchiladas are better. What they don't make is a great potato salad to go with it. So don't take that wrong. See, I'm lifting you up. Come on. I told her to bottle her salsa so we can sell her salsa. We can. But, you know, you got to put the preservative to last all this time. But, you know, the devil told Jesus, I know you. Let me stop right here for a minute. The devil tells that to you. I know you. Back in the mid-80s, 1985, 86 time when we were starting the church up. And I was in the auto business already. Somebody, an old friend, brought somebody to me to minister to them. They were trainers of the canine animals for the police departments out of Fontana. And he brought me one of the trainers because he had some issues. He had some demons he wanted to deal with. And I said, "Well, come to the church. You know, I'm at work. I can't do nothing. I'm on the job right here. So come to church, right?" And so we go. I've never met the man, right? That night at 2 in the morning, the morning coming, somebody's pounding my door. I said, "What the heck?" I get up to answer. It's him. And I'm looking. I said, "What are you doing?" I'm trying to figure out, how'd you find me? How'd you figure out where I live? Because I lived in El Cerrito back then in the crowd of Corona, way out in the boonies. And nice fourplex with a trailer sitting right there from the owner that owned it. And he said, you know what he said to me? He says, "I come to kill you." 2 in the morning. I'm still waking up. She's my testimony. She'll testify about this. Hello, church. And I said, and out of my mouth, I said, "You can't kill somebody that's dead already." See, I'm thinking of the old nature. He's dead. Because you don't come to my house and tell me this. Come on, somebody. But I said, "You can't kill somebody. I'm dead already. But what I can do for you is pray." And he goes, "Yeah, pray for me." I said, I was smart enough to say, "Come inside." I said, "Come inside, because I know if I have to kill you, I'm going to have to kill you inside my house, because now you're in my house and you try to do something to me, I'm justified by the law." Come on, somebody. I've known that law already. Come on inside. Brought him inside, and next thing you know, he swings at me to punch me in the face. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the protections of the angel. All I know is that hand missed me. I pushed his hand and I grabbed him in the chokehold behind him, threw him down, told Debbie, stay in the back with the kids. And the next thing I know, I'm fighting a demon and a devil. And it's starting to talk to me in different ways and in different voices. And I'm struggling and commanding in the name of Jesus. But I thank God, if I didn't see that in my third month with Debbie and I, we're in the church with our pastor. If we didn't see that kind of commotion and that kind of fighting going on, and our pastor, teaching us about demon possession, and but we weren't there at that time. He didn't tell us to leave. He didn't say, "Go hide." He showed us, and we learned. So I was able to fight that devil all night long till 6 in the morning. We fought. And he was throwing up every time I cast something. There it is on the floor. That is real. The exorcist is real. I'm not a priest. I'm a child of God. We fought for hours. And the worst thing is, my brother lived on one side of the complex, another friend, and a minister of our friends, he lives in the back. I said, "Go call them. Nobody came. None of them came. So we fought all night, and finally he settled down. But he didn't let go of one thing. And I know that exists because that's our pastor. We saw it. We were taught. Come on. The demon cried out. It cried out to voices. It was a woman's voice. It was a man's voice. It was a tiger, a lion's voice coming out. Every time I got my carpet dirty, I should have charged him. I'm serious, though. This is serious. The devil says, I know you. And you have not experienced that maybe, but I pray that if you ever do, you be ready. You need to say, I'm not scared. Come on. Showing at my door to say, I'm here to kill you. Come on. You don't do that. Hello? Call 911. It didn't exist back then. There's no 911. Overall, I took the gentleman home, left him off, said my goodbyes, got a hold of my friend in the morning. I go, did you give him my address? If you did, why'd you send him to me? Why didn't you take care of business? He says, I didn't give him your address. I said, wow, he found me. No, because you know what? The devil knew where I live. So did God. The devil knows where you live. I'm not putting this to put fear in you. I'm putting you to get some courage, get some authority, get your boxing ready. Come on, you MMA fighters. You want to fight an MMA person? Fight a real demon and see who's going to win. Because one of you is going to win, one's going to lose. Say amen, somebody. You know, to say, I know you. And by the way, the story ended good. That one demon, he loved heroin. He wouldn't let it go. The good news out of that, he brought me a trained, rejected canine as a gift. Beautiful. My favorite dog, Danielson. White, black shepherd. Protected. He was awesome. Knew nothing but German. I had the commands in German. He gifted this. Come on, somebody. And I love the shepherd. I love big dogs. Come on, say amen. In fact, I love him so well, they call me big dog. Pero grande. Come on. But do you see this? I know you. But this is, I like the best. You have, Jesus on verse number 25 says, Jesus rebuked him saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. This is love. He says, shut up. Oh, excuse me. Excuse my English. Be quiet. No, Jesus says, hold your peace. I would have said, shut up. I've told the devil, shut up, because he starts talking to you because he wants to put fear in you. He'll start talking to you. He'll tell you, I know where you live. We've heard that. I know where you live. I go, so do I. I live in the house of God because everything I have belongs to Him. Come on, have you given everything that belongs to you to Him? Because when you are going to be tempted and tested, this is what God's trying to tell us right here. Here's the saddest part. Jesus told him to be quiet. And what happened? He became quiet. What is hold thy peace? And when the unclean spirit had torn him and came out with a loud voice, he bothered the person it was in. Why? Because the person where he sat, he was in a religious position in a church. Just because you sit in church, just because you're in the staffing, just because you do any type of ministry for your church, doesn't mean that you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you're anointed by God. Doesn't mean it's from God. Show me in the scriptures where he says, we like to say, well, you know, when did we do this for you, Lord Jesus, being tempted and being asked for him? When did we do this for him? Well, when you did this or when you did that? Well, oh, that is wonderful, but you better know what he was talking about at that time. I'm doing this for the church. That's wonderful. We love that. Come on. But this devil still know who you are. He sat in the church for years, comfortable. Until, here it comes, Jesus walks in. And when he walks in, E.F. Hutton walks in. How many know that commercial? Everybody's silent. Why? Because it knows. Authority's here. In the house of God, it better recognize. But you know what the saddest part was here? Are you listening? Are you ready for this? Because as long as there was no Jesus, they were comfortable doing what they were doing. They were not disturbed at what they were doing. Authority walks in, and this is the saddest part. The devil recognized him, not the church. The devil's the one that said, I know you. The priest, the pastor, the minister, the bishop, whatever we call them today, right? The father, the deacons, the ushers, the membership. Nobody recognized him. A devil did. The dark side. Luke, I'm your father. Come on. That's the saddest part. Nobody knew who he was except the darkness. And the reason Jesus told him to be quiet, there's a reason he told him to be quiet. Because if he didn't, they would have thought that the dark side had the authority. But he's there to take the authority away out of the dark sides to bring it to the light. And that's us, because you are the light. Hello, church. Are you getting this? Come on, we got to get this. Not only did he cry out, but it had to be what it was. And one thing you better recognize right here, that demons are comfortable with religion. Demons are comfortable, but not with authority. It should know you. Don't be afraid if he says, I know you. Yeah, I know you too. Come on, just don't hold hands with him. You can't serve two masters, church. You're either going to hold to one and let go of the other. And if you choose the right one, you're on the way, the highway to heaven. And I'm not talking about a song. Yeah. I'm not talking about a stairway. See, I know all that stuff. Come on. Are you listening, church? And Jesus rebuked him. Hold your peace. And then he came out. And they were amazed on 27, right? They were amazed. You know, it's called he muzzled them. They were amazed because he had obeyed. I've been around casting out devils so long, it's not funny. And we were at a church, visiting a church. You're going to remember this one, Minister John. We were at Pastor Delano's church. I think it's in Pomona. And we were there, and they're trying to cast out a devil out of one of our own people. One of our own people. They're trying to cast a devil out of and they couldn't. Do you remember that? Okay, that's okay. I'll refresh your memory. I get up there, and I'm watching. I'm praying because it's not my church. We're visiting. We took our ministry to go visit. We're praying right there. We're praying for him. And he's saying all kinds of stuff. And I'm going back to my pastor teaching us because we didn't know no better when he was casting out those demons out of that person, a female. It was a female. She came crawling up the carpet, and he just stopped her right there. We had to get a big carpet, two men on this side, two men on that. She was picking us up. She was strong. And there was a moment of time it started speaking in tongues. Oh, shatalabase, keshidiriabaso. And we're rejoicing. I'm only 3 months in the Lord. Come on, I'm a rejoice. Yay, we got victory, right? We got victory. And then my pastor blows us away. He says, you can't even fake it right. And it started laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, God. The devil knows how to speak in tongues. We were amazed. We got put down quick. I said, oh, my God. It came out. And then it says on 27, they were all amazed insomuch they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What thing is this? Come on, are you here? But let me tell you what happens. Before deliverance, there will be silencing. Because if you don't silence, we've been around. Getting back to that one, I had to go up there. I said, let me take over. We've been too long. You're out, you know, I got to go. I'm hungry. I'm visiting. I'm not responsible for your ministry. I don't care what you do. Come on. I got people, and I know that if I'm hungry, I know they're hungry. Come on. Let me get in there. Can I go in there? And I just went in and I said, shut up. Shut up. Be quiet. Come out of him. And he came out and tore my pocket. Tore my brand new pants too. Tore my pants coming out of him. I gave the bill to my member. It was my member. What the heck? What happened? What did you do from that day to this day? What did you go do out there that you opened the door that this demon came in you? Come on, somebody, help me here. I know you. Yeah, I know you. But I also know who I am. Come on, somebody. He's aligning us to know who we are today. Hello, somebody. You're not here to, before you can bring deliverance, you need to tell that devil, shut up. I'm sorry, bad English. I don't care. He don't care. You shouldn't care. Be quiet. Hold that peace. It doesn't matter. What matters is you must muzzle his mouth from speaking. Because if you don't, he believes he has authority, and everybody around there is going to think he has authority. And in God's house, nobody has authority but the living God himself. The Spirit of God, who's anointed us, has given us the authority, has put the armor on us, has positioned us, has purposed us. Now go out. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and cast out devils and demons. Just be ready to walk in your authority. Because you don't know the devil like you think you know him. And you're not going to get no closer to no demon. And God can't use you because you ain't ready. I can't face Satan because I'm not ready. God will put certain demons in front of us because we're ready for that one. But we can't challenge Satan. That's God's issue. Come on. That's between God, and he's got to send sometimes both angels, Michael and Gabriel, because Gabriel was having a hard time. Come on. If you read the stories, Gabriel was having a hard time. I heard your prayer about Satan. In the second heavens, challenged me. And he was fighting them for weeks. 3 weeks, it says. How many know about this demonology stuff? Huh? My God, help me here, Jesus. I'm getting ready to close you. What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey. Can I ask you something? How did they know he was an unclean spirit? Anybody? Well, one thing I can tell you, they knew he was unclean. They knew he was immoral. They knew he wasn't right. They knew they love his membership. They love his giving. Come on, say amen. They love everything that he presented by and just being a pew warmer at that time. They love that he could be faithful on Wednesdays and Sundays, just as long as you didn't tell him who he was and what he shouldn't be doing. Hello? Because that one knows he's doing wrong, and he's uncomfortable. We got him in comfortable today in church. All over the place, they're comfortable. You can't be comfortable here when the Spirit of God's moving. He's going to correct you. Come on, say amen. He's going to make you feel uncomfortable. That's why they don't come back. They're uncomfortable. Why? Because he's dealing with the inside of you that he wants out of you. Hello? Because he wants to fill you with his Spirit, with his anointing, with his authority, with his armor, that you can live correctly. Live victoriously and walk in your victory, not no other way. Come on, it tells us right here. Faith that confronts does not coexist. You can't coexist. That's why he didn't like it. And if you know, before Jesus left, he cleaned the church up. I mean, remember, he cleaned the church up before he left. He overturned the tables, right? You're not going to make this anything except a house of prayer. Come on, church. As we look at this, you know, they wanted to know, and what you don't, I don't know if you can catch this. They weren't amazed at the demon leaving. They were amazed at the doctrine. What is teaching is this? By just speaking the word. How many know you can just speak the word and things are going to change? And that I'm going to tell you, we always go, every time we walk into our home, the blood of Jesus. Why? Because I don't know what's trying to follow me. Because I'm a target. If I'm a target, you're a target. Come on, the enemy wants to wipe you out. Why? Because you're an issue to him. Hello, somebody. And so we always do the blood of Jesus. Even coming to our own church, the blood of Jesus. I don't know what's following me. I just know that, you can't come in here. The blood covers us as it has cleansed us. It's a covering. Come on, somebody say amen. And the people were just asking, what the heck is this? What is this? Yes, they weren't amazed about nothing else. What's this authority? They didn't recognize the miracle. They didn't recognize a person. He's new. Look at him. He's changed. Look at him. He looks so bright. He's not so dark. He's got a smile. What is that? No, they want to know, what's his authority? See, it's not always about the miracle. It's about the thing behind the miracle. Come on, are you with me? They were so amazed that they didn't even call it a new miracle. They're amazed at what doctrine is this? In closing, Jesus did not come to improve the synagogue culture. He came to inaugurate the kingdom of God. You are the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is here in you. And he wants you to realign with what he's given you as a power and authority to live accordingly. Power of death and life are in your tongue. Come on. So stop being negative. Stop talking negativity. Stop allowing in your homes what you have allowed for so long. Stop it. Be not afraid, because that spirit of fear God did not give us. Stand your ground. Speak authority. Ask God, cleanse it. Are you here? No more in our house. Come on. I remember in closing, in this final statement at our prior church, where I had a great idea and I combined ministries until God rebuked me and ended that. I never told you to combine. There was this couple. I loved the wife and the husband. The husband and wife. They were who they were, and they used to have a lot of invitations to go out to have a lot of gatherings in their home, but they would never invite us because they didn't like who I was. They didn't like what I said, and he finally opposed. I don't like what you said, and he's an authority person in the church of the one we combined with. I said, what is it that did you don't like that you? He says, I don't like that you said we shouldn't drink. I said you shouldn't. Didn't say you did. Just stop. He says, well, I like to entertain and I like to serve wine and hard liquor, and my house is full of it. And I said, well, that's your house. That's your prerogative. He goes, well, I still don't like that you said it. So we never got invited. Well-respected couple, too. And I don't even want to tell you his employment. Him and her were both employed by the same company. I would say, but it might be hurtful. And that's okay. I'm not going to say it. Unfortunately, today, they're both deceased. Unfortunately, not because of the employment, because death came. Come on. You don't have to do anything I ask you to do. I'm not telling you to do anything, but I'm telling you to take authority over everywhere you are at. And it should know when you walk in, authority is here. Come on, say amen. Stand to your feet. Close your eyes.